from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
It's the G and Ursula Show. Now, as you all know, you can always listen to the podcast at the end of the show. I encourage you to listen to the scenarios. The thing is that usually, Ursula, when we do scenarios, we have the scenario, we read the scenario, and we react to it. Today's scenario was a bit different, and it was different because it involved in-house stuff. And I thought, me personally, and I got, guys, by the way, I'm still shocked by this scenario. I thought that the scenario was one way, and then in the middle of it, we find out there's a twist. So some of you guys were like, that was the worst scenario ever. And some of you all were like, that was the best scenario ever. I'm going to tell you right now, in my 10 years of doing radio, don't think I've expected that one. That was like I'm still speechless. Matter of fact, I didn't even really talk during the break. Good morning, Ursula.
And with that, you truly need to listen to the podcast because if you missed it.
Because I really think that some of you all think that that was kind of staged. And you're like, why? You have no idea how much it was not. Oh, my goodness.
Especially since I begged not to do it. I begged since yesterday not to do it. I said, this is ridiculous. I wasn't going to make a big deal. As Chef correctly pointed out, my charging cord is a piece of, you know what? It just so happens to still be able to charge my phone.
And wait, that was the real one. The fact that the person who was ultimately responsible for taking it,
Chef,
then wants to trash on it by saying, oh, this cord? Yeah, I took it. Oh, by the way, it's trash.
And he let us go on yesterday during our texting without admitting that, oh, that cord? He decided just to save it all for the air.
Absolutely did. Would it change
anyway,
a thing?
Listen to the podcast. We're ready for 11 o'clock.
Agree to disagree, brought to you by Garden Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
How is the plastic bag ban going in Washington State? KOW reported on a conservative group study of the issue, which found that plastic waste is down, but it's not quite having the intended effect because many consumers are not bothering to reuse those new thicker bags that you can buy for an 8-cent fee. This group also posits that because so many of those bags are ending up in the waste and they are the equivalent of basically 8 or 10 of the thinner bags, that perhaps it may be a wash. Although I will point out, plastic waste is down. G. Scott, this was a huge issue before it went into effect. Mm-hmm. Has this changed your life in any way? Do you want to keep the ban? Do you want to bring back the plastic?
No, I think the ban was necessary. And I was one that was completely against it. As you all know, I love the use that you can use with plastic bags afterwards. By the way, shout out to everybody that is like me right now. If I ask you, where are your plastic bags? If you say underneath the sink, I just want to tell you that we are brothers and sisters. I just want to let you know that. But Ursula, I way less since that ban has happened, way less on the plastic bags. I mean, like when I say way less, I'm like 90% less. So if it's less for me, I know it's less for everyone else. I do think it's making a difference.
I think we need more evidence that it is making a difference. And I don't want to say all for it, but I was open to the idea if it was going to, in fact, be something that helps the environment. But if the results so far are kind of 50-50 or not,
plastic waste is down. Yeah.
Abundantly clear. Well, even the way you say it, the way you present it, is it's not what they anticipated it would be with this ban. I know what I'm doing, and I'm almost ashamed to admit it, but I don't bring my bags in with me to the store. I end up paying that 8 extra cents for the plastic bag.
Wait, you get plastic bags every time?
Not every time.
Okay.
But right now, I have an abundance of the paper bags.
Yes.
And so when I have an abundance of the paper bags, then I'm going to go with those plastic bags. And I'm going to guess that there are a lot of other people like myself. Again, I would just love to see more evidence that it actually is working to continue it, because if now we're putting eight times the amount of each of those little flimsier bags, then what's the point?
Well, it's down. I think it's working great. I guess here's the deal. Like, here's the evidence. Do you remember those plastic bag collection bins that they would have in the grocery store that would have like 8 metric yards of plastic bags in them? Those are now gone. Those were just ending up in the landfill. They were not being recycled. And think about how many plastic bags that you would go through beforehand. Family of five, right? Between all of you shopping every week, you're probably going to end up with about 30, 40 plastic bags for every trip to the store. That's 30, 40 bags that people said that they used for their garbage. Nobody uses 30 or 40 garbage bags a week. It's not possible.
No.
So I think it's picking up
your doggy do. That was helpful too.
You would trust a grocery store plastic bag to pick up dog crap with?
That's what they generally are.
Yeah. A lot of times they have holes in them from the pineapples, all that kind of stuff. No way I would pick up dog crap with them. But let's move on. You would trust that?
I think a lot of people don't buy the actual doggy poop bags. I think they use their old grocery bags.
Okay. All right.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
I mean, they work just fine until you find one with a hole.
Okay,
that's
then
the
work
problem.
Around the hole.
Okay, I have to bring up this ethical question again because you asked that I do so, Ursula. And this is a hypothetical question that has to do with nonprofits and how money is funneled between people, nonprofits, and those in need. And G, your question was, If I were to tell you that I needed to get a pair of pants for someone who was in need, and you gave me $10 to buy those pants, I turned around, spent $1 on pants for that person, gave it to them, and kept the $9, am I a bad person? What is your answer to that question?
I'm glad you asked me that. My answer is going to be, as long as I let it be known what that expense was. And if I buy that pair of pants for $1 and I get $10 from that person, as long as when I go to try to ask for more money, I now know, okay, people are giving 10 for that one. Hey, just so you guys know, it costs this much to outfit this many people in this pair of pants, to get a pair of pants. I want to put it out there, the number's going to be, so that I don't get that $10 in the one.
So I appreciate that you took a little bit of time to think about that, because you posed that question to me and I had to answer it like on the fly.
I did.
And I said no, only because I was thinking that with a lot of nonprofits and with a lot of charities, 100% of the money that you donate is not going to the intended target or the intended recipients. There's costs for operation. There's costs for
employees,
whatever it is, employees, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe it's 1/10 or 1/5 of what is initially donated. That's why you have Charity Finder and other things that you can look at and see which are the best charities to give your money to. And so when you said, is that person a bad person? My initial reaction was no. But if someone is giving the impression that they're giving that person $10 or buying them $10 jeans and actually pocketing a bunch of money, then I would say, yeah, that person is bad, because that's being fraudulent.
It's profiteering. It's profiteering.
Exactly.
Right? Profiteering off of goodwill. And I would answer the same way. The question only changes when it's the amount of money, right? If you're keeping $1 because you had to, you know, buy some gas to drive down to Tuckwiller or whatever to drop off the pair of pants, that's one thing. But if you're legit making money and just pocketing that, heck yeah, that's unethical. Do you disagree?
Oh, no, I don't disagree. No doubt. For sure.
I got to tee up one that is tailor-made for G. Scott. New poll of Americans published in the Washington Post this morning says that a majority of us would not leave a tip when we get poor service. Poor, terrible, awful service, no tip. G, are you that brutal?
No.
Really?
No, I'm not. I used to be. that's because I was, you know, there was a point in time where I that extra money hurt, right? So today, no. If I get awful service, I know that, you know, whatever the case might be, I'm still going to I'm still going to give you at least 10 to 15%. Even with awful service. And by the way, sometimes that awful service might not be the fault of the server. There's a lot of things that go into your experience. So if it was bad, whether your food was late or the server was inattentive, or there's all different reasons, or there was a screaming baby next to you, or there was somebody's comfort dog that was licking your leg. See, that's exaggeration. See, I did that. Anyways, but those.
Do you have a minimum percentage that you do? When the service is bad, do you say, okay, this person is just getting this amount? Because I do.
Yeah, I'll give you.
I know what it is.
Between 10 and 15%.
What is it?
Something I throw away. A penny. Do you leave them a penny? No, you don't do that.
That's not cool.
No.
That's not cool at all.
Where are you at? I do
10%.
There you go.
If I'm really upset, then I'm...
Yeah. I mean...
But I will have had a conversation and... I will have said, this is why I'm not going to say this is why I'm giving you 10%. I will have made it known that I was not happy with the service. Yeah. So that they're not looking at it going, wait a minute.
The last time we had some service that was really bad, it was when actually we were in Vancouver, BC, when we went in February and we went to a restaurant and it was really, really extremely bad. Like so bad to where I went. Found a manager, talked to the manager. I said, you realize we've been here for an hour and a half and we still don't have our food. But I want to show you something. You see that couple right there? That couple right there, those folks, they got here after us. You see them with their food? I said, and then he apologized. Come to find out, the server was having a really bad day. And I said, well, I just wish the server would have said something to you, and then that way you guys could have said something to us. Now, what did they do? They comped our meal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they comped our meal, and then at the very end, because they comped our meal...
You gave them...
I gave them, like, I tipped them on what the meal would have
been.
Perfect. Right?
I think that's a great remedy.
Yeah.
I can't not leave a tip. It's just like...
So have you ever done a penny? Because I'm...
No.
Sure.
No, I don't have any pennies on me, Ursula, ever.
Well,
you know
this.
That's
true. That's right. You throw them in the
Basically,
trash.
I'm a coward, right? Because that's what it comes down to, is you feel bad for the person. You're like, hey, you were a total jerk to me, provided no service, but you got to eat too, so I guess I'll kick you down some money.
Have you ever written a note on...
No, I've never written a
receipt?
Nope. I will talk to managers. I will let people know if there are issues, because I think it is incumbent on you as a customer, if you are having a bad experience, to try to give the establishment every effort to redeem themselves.
I agree.
And most good places will do everything within their power to do so.
Agree.
So long as you don't come across like a jerk or somebody who's just looking for free stuff.
Agree.
Because there's a lot of those out there.
I want to say, Ursula, that writing a note on it, that's some old passive aggressive Seattle stuff right there.
The only times there's been two where I've done that is when I wasn't able to actually talk to them in person.
Oh, I just thought about it. Maybe I should get out of this segment by not admitting this. Should I tell you? In the past, when I did write something down on the receipt.
See, look at you calling me passive aggressive.
No, but I didn't write a note to him. Hey, call me.
Oh, God.
I told you I wanted to get out of that segment.
Okay, well, as long as we threw that in there, did I tell? We've been doing a lot of meat today, so we're going with a little fluff now.
We have to, yes.
Yes. Did I tell you about the time I ate at Joey's? And the server was so cute. This was long before my either son had a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And the server was so sweet and so cute.
Oh, you didn't.
During the conversation... During the conversation, that one of the many conversations we had, I showed her a picture of one particular son.
Right?
She comes back on the bill. She gives me her phone number.
Ooh,
what?
To give to him.
Okay.
Wait. I need the follow-up on this. Because this has happened to me like maybe three times in my life. But usually... it's not from someone in your age bracket. It's somebody who's like, I have to tell you about my granddaughter. She's such a lovely young woman, and you seem like such a lovely... I'm like, you don't
sometimes
know me, ma'am.
Sometimes those people are the best matchmakers.
Well, did this son ever call?
Yes. And then I will just leave it at that. No, that's it. That's where Mona, the story ends.
Well, Mona from Tacoma says, but gee, did she call you? Hey, Mona. Nope.
Okay, I'll finish the story. By the time my son did call her, she was in a relationship. He didn't act on it soon enough.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. When you single these days, you gotta battle against all kinds of things. You gotta battle against the ex. You gotta battle against the sneaky links. You gotta battle against all kinds of stuff.
All that swiping.
It worked out in his favor, though. So let's put it that way.
All right. Hey, by the way, you remember Craigslist used to have the whole thing on there? Oh, Greg in Las Vegas just said something on there. They used to post on Craigslist like, hey, I saw you in a grocery store. I didn't know your name or anything like that. So I used to see that. I used to read those and crack up.
Oh, I was going to say you used to read those and hope that your name was in there.
No, I thought that was the weirdest thing. I used to think that was...
Misconnections?
Misconnections. Yep. Yes. That's it. You guys didn't read those?
No, like, those are fun.
Now, my question is, did anybody actually make a connection? Like, oh, I was that person in the cheese section of Trader Joe's.
I think they have turned out well for some folks. The problem, G, in you understanding is that some of us are really dense and we don't pick up all the clues. Something tells me you picked up all the clues. There were no misconnections.
No. I don't know. I used to read those all the time. All right, Ursa, what you want to do at 11:30?
Well, we're going to have Mickey Gomez join us, mm-hmm. and we have an update. There is something that is affecting a lot of young people today, but especially young boys, and in some cases resulted in suicide because the young men who were targeted were so distraught about what happened. Now social media companies are doing something, and Mickey's going to give us an update.
We'll do that next. Gene Ursa.
Gian Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Wednesday morning. And picture this. A young man gets a DM from a gorgeous woman. They send messages back and forth. And after a while, the woman says, why don't you send me some pictures of your genitalia? And this young man does that. And then immediately gets a message back that says, okay, if you don't give me a certain amount of money, I'm going to spread this image with everyone on your social media list, everyone that you know. And it's going to be really embarrassing for you if you don't give me this money. Well, that kind of sextortion is a growing online trend. And now we're just hearing about one social media company that is trying to stop it.
We reported last month that online sex crimes against Washington kids is up by 200% from last year. According to Seattle police, it's because children as young as 7 are online. Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, recently added guardrails to protect teen accounts. Spokesperson Lori Moylan tells me they want to prevent salacious pics from being viewed.
The tools that we're introducing will automatically blur those images.
She says a message will appear before a teen can open a suggestive photo.
This image may contain nudity to try to introduce friction before a teen were to open an image that has that.
Friction requires a user to jump through hoops before a possible sexually explicit photo can be seen in hopes that a teen won't open it.
Similarly, if you're going to send something and it detects that there's nudity in the image, it will introduce friction. You know, do you actually want to send this? Every step in this process, they have the power, like the decision-making power, and that engaging with nude images online, whether it's their own or those of their friends, is like obviously not a wise decision.
But that's not all. Moylan says victims of sextortion can take action.
Like the take it down tool, which will let you sort of take power over your own if you find out that an image of you is circulating on the internet.
She says Meta is constantly working to protect its users, especially teens.
Just in the second half of last year, we took down 21,000 groups and 37 different networks of people that we thought were engaged in some form of exploitation on the platform.
And
so now if we just suspect that you as an adult account are engaged in a suspicious behavior that may be sextortion, we will start limiting the ways in which you can interact with people that you don't know.
Which means if a flagged user tries to message a teen, Meta won't allow it. Seattle police say it's critical that parents become more involved in their teens' internet use and implement stricter privacy settings because not all platforms are alike. If your child is the victim of a sex scam, do not send money. Save the online interaction and report it immediately to the FBI. Mickey Gomez, Cairo News Radio.
Certainly glad to hear that Facebook or Meta is trying to do something, because this is a growing problem. And when you think that, oh, it couldn't possibly happen to my kid, this would be these scammers are really good.
Yeah, they really are. And they really are.
In many cases, they're working from other countries and they're doing that. And they have managed to get a hold of your social media contact list.
Yeah.
And this has resulted in some young kids actually harming themselves.
Taking their lives. Yeah.
Because they were so distraught about it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that Meta is finally doing something that what I think would at least help maybe slow it down.
I want to share with you what I shared with my kids when all the whole cell phone and pick things. Even if it's your, I used to say this to them, even if it's your girlfriend or your wife, don't send them naked pictures.
Yeah.
If you live with that, so if you're a parent right now and you're wondering like, oh, this is scary, I don't want this to happen to my child, use that advice. Even if it's to your girlfriend, your wife, anybody, don't send naked pictures. Do that because you never know the day that your phone could possibly get hacked. You never know when that other person's phone could be hacked. And that, because once it's there, it lives forever.
Yes.
It never goes away. So if you're like, oh my goodness, there's a picture of me or there's a video of me online that I just can't get off to, it's there forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So again, don't send it to your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband. Don't send those pics.
Yeah. And what's really interesting here is that it's happening to a lot of boys. Psychology Today is calling this a global epidemic because so many young male teens are becoming involved in sextortion. And so they say the reason why is because partially men are more comfortable creating relationships online. And so when they believe that they're actually talking to another teen who happens to be a girl who sends a pic first, and then she initiates and says, you send a pic immediately, as soon as that pic is sent, inappropriate or whatever, that is when the conversation changes and it immediately becomes sextortion. And of course, men don't want to admit, I guess, when they've done something wrong, teen or adult.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. So that is when the shame is surrounded by that. That's when the victimization comes in.
And then they make the mistake of actually paying.
Sometimes they pay.
Once you start paying, then they keep asking for more money. Mm-hmm.
So if you are a parent, I love G. That advice is great advice. It really is. I have kids on social media. I know about their accounts. I follow their accounts. We've got the guardrails. They have their actual ages on their accounts. And so we've got the parent protections in place. But what's really interesting is that even still, they will get sometimes inappropriate pics. They bring it to my attention or I find it. And then I have to block it or let Meta know.
Yeah, I think the best thing that, you know, I know that there's guardrails and all the protections and follow. The best thing that we as adults and parents can do is to really do our best to have our kids understand why.
Exactly. Because it's one thing to just tell them, don't do it.
Yeah.
But to show them, look what happened in this particular case. And it was a relationship that this young man thought he was having with someone who purported to be a cheerleader at the high school, blah, blah, blah. And it actually turns out to be someone in a foreign country trying to scam you.
And I got one more thing to say, too.
Yes, sir.
That pic that you're sending.
Which one?
It doesn't. No. In general.
I was like, which one did I send?
That pic that you're sending. This is actually to the fellas. Fellas. That picture that you're sending, it's not like you think, bruh. It's not. I don't really want to explain this, but it's really not like you think. Doesn't matter the angle. Doesn't matter. Don't send it, my man. Don't send it. Trust me. Trust me. If you don't listen to anything I say, if you disagree with me, I get it. Just don't send it.
All right. Words to live by.
Thank you, Mickey Godmass.
Appreciate you,
my friend. Mm-hmm. Your text messages, your feedback, don't send it. Words to live by next. Gian Ursula. The show. Good morning. My good friend Karen texted in Ursula and she said, give me my money and just don't send it, bruh. That's my show for today. That's all I got.
Someone suggested don't send the pick to be the words to live by today. No, I've got a new one. I've got a new one from another listener.
Okay.
But thank you.
All right. Okay, what do you got, Ursula?
On the topic of Boeing, does your company policy not match what you actually do in reality? Are employees believed when they raise problems, when they bring up problems? 564 says corporate greed will always overpower safety. That's the one thing that the pandemic has taught us.
Barry in the 253 says, that's why I left the corrections department. No one believes the employees. It's like that in all the professional world.
And what Boeing has lost, Mike texted in, and this is really heartfelt, actually. It says, it's hard to understand how much Boeing has meant to Seattle. In the 1960s, my best friend's dad was a high-level Boeing engineer. My friend and I would listen to his dad describe not just airplanes, but rocket ships for the space program. His dad would beam whenever he talked about what he was doing. Seattle was Boeing during its heyday. Everyone was so proud of them and what they did. After the two recent crashes and then moving the headquarters away, that civic pride and goodwill is gone forever. You really can't imagine what it was like back then living here. I was a wide-eyed nine-year-old when the astronauts landed on the moon in that summer of 1969. Boeing was a part of that. What a time.
Wow, that's a good text, Mike. Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back. 206 says USC was on probation, too. USC should get their championships back, too.
I love what Kevin in Seattle says. Hi, folks. Diehard UW grad and Husky fan here. I don't think there's really anything tangible that could be given to UW, but the exoneration of Don James, legendary coach, and recognition that payment and cheating scandals were rampant yet unpunished in the SEC, Big Ten, etc., would go a long way in setting the record straight.
Hey, Kevin in Seattle, there's a lot of things that I would love to hear recognition for all of those things that happened that have gone unpunished. Huh. We'll continue to wait for that,
good
too.
Good point, too.
Scenarios. Oh, man. Spike O'Neill was falsely accused of stealing Ursula's phone charger. It was actually Chef. Mail on Bainbridge says, this is so good. You are definitely all family members. This sounds like family at holiday time after a couple cocktails.
Doug in Mount Vernon, who's quickly becoming one of our favorites, says, Andrew, this is going to become an office-wide memo. Please make sure anything borrowed is returned.
If you don't think I haven't been the cause of several office-wide memos.
No truth, says...
Where'd you go, G?
You can't
True
make
words
this...
have not been spoken.
You can't make this up. Kathy says, I think that chef must be the youngest in his family because they treat everyone's stuff as their own. I just want to say this about that topic. I cannot stop thinking about that topic because yesterday I was so blown away. Okay.
You got more of a...
I'll tell you why.
I didn't even get remotely upset.
I'll tell you why.
Think twice about it.
I'll tell you why. There's some of you that know what I'm talking about. Taking of your cell phone charger, it just taking it, that's a no-no.
Yeah, you know why I'm probably used
that's
to it?
That's a no-no, because your son's doing it?
Yes.
No, like most of us don't have chargers everywhere. Most of us have one charger. So when you take a charger and you're like, oopsies, in my circle of people,
you're
that's a no-no. Like, if you will take my phone charger, then you'll take $5,000 from me.
Well, maybe, that's a good point. Maybe that is why you noticed that my battery was gasping for air.
If you ever invite me to your house, G, you know what I'm leaving with, right?
Ursula's words to live by. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Nick.
Right in the nick of time.
What do you guess, Ursula?
This is actually a quote given to us by a listener.
Okay.
Listener Robin, who I really appreciate. It's from Frank Clark, an author, who says, criticism, like rain, should be gentle enough to nourish a person's growth without destroying their roots. I love that.
I do like that one, too. Nick!
Well, would you lend out anything to coworkers or friends, from an egg or cup of sugar to a pencil or some pens? Well, if Spike is asking for your goods, think twice before accepting. There's a rumor that he doesn't give returns like you're expecting, but looking closer for the missing charger that he had, we find out it's Chef who hides it without even feeling bad. So if you have a chance to get some eyes behind your head, take them over to Chef's desk and leave them there to watch instead. I think we're going to need a baby monitor or something for that guy.
Okay. Nikki texts in and says, gee, that's a little extreme.
Okay, let me explain.
No, it's not.
Because in G's world, if it could cost several thousand dollars, it's because so much of your scheduling and everything that has to do with your businesses is on your phone. So you don't charge, you don't have access to your phone, you lose business. Did I get that right?
Nah, you're just being nice. Hey, Ursula.
Uh-huh.
If in your desk you have a dollar and some change, and I come by and I take the dollar and change out of your desk.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying.
If I can take the dollar and change, could I take $10,000 from
you? Yes. Okay. I didn't understand that part. I gotcha.
It's a slippery slope, guys.
Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And as always, be kind.
Hope you had as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.